That's much better. Now we're going to have a nice thosh so that I can try and tell the adults about what we've been getting up to this week. Because you see, unfortunately for you guys, you're a bit too old to join us this last week at Rocky's Place. Like me, you had to be under 20 to take part. So unfortunately, you were too old. Because hopefully you'll have seen from the video and also from what we've given you a wee highlight of this morning, we had fantastic fun. Laughing, playing games, being creative, but most importantly, listening and learning about God's life-saving plan for every one of us. You see, Rocky's Place wasn't just a fish and chip cafe where we took care of food. It was also a place where the children could come and hear stories from God's Word, the Bible. True stories of how God established his first church through the witness of Peter. And Jesus spoke of Peter in Matthew 16 and 18, and he said, "Upon this rock," which is why we got the name Rockies, "upon this rock I will build my church." Such was the witness of Peter that it provided the foundation for our faith today. And so we learned of that in our time together in Rocky's Place. And to help us each day, we had a set menu. And such are my culinary skills that I never served the same dish twice. Each day complementing the next, until by the end of the week, we had a feast fit to sustain us, not just for a few hours, or a few days, or a few weeks, but to sustain us for all eternity. That's a calorific food fest if ever I've had one. So those of you who are wasting your money on Scottish Slimmers, I would like to introduce you to Cat's Calories, because the good thing about this is you don't need to work these calories off. You can just keep adding to them. So each day we had a set menu. And on that menu, what did we have each day, guys, on the menu? We had a word. What else did we have?
We had a thing.
A thing. Fantastic. What else did we have?
A fish.
A fish. So every day, to help us remember, we had an object or a thing, a fish, and a word. And unfortunately for you guys, I don't have time to tell you all the wonderful things that we learned this week in Holiday Club, but I do hope for the next few minutes to try and give you a flavour of the essence of our key message to the children this week, because it's not just a message for the children, it's a message for you grown-ups too. And to help me set the scene of our week, I'm just going to ask the guys at the back to play a song, and I want you to listen and watch the words of this song. It's by a Scottish artist, Emily Sandy. You may have heard of her. She sang at the opening ceremony of the 2012 Olympic Games. She didn't sing this song, but it is from the same album.
I hope that the world stops raining, stops turning its back on the young. See, nobody here is blameless. I hope that we can fix all that we've done. I really hope Martin can't see this. I hope that we still have a dream. I'm hoping that change isn't hopeless. I'm hoping to start it with me. I just hope I'm not the only one. Yeah, I just hope I'm not the only one. I hope we start seeing forever instead of what we can gain in a day. I hope we start seeing each other, 'cause don't we all bleed the same? I really hope someone can hear me, that a child doesn't bear the weight of a gun. Hope I find a voice within me to scream at the top. I just hope I'm not the only one. I just hope I'm not the only one. taken for granted. All of the land and all of the sea. I'm taking a chance on loving. I hope that you take it with me. I just hope I'm not the only one. I just hope.
The lyrics of that song that Emily Sandy has tried to express are the feelings that so many of us are experiencing across this world today, where we're experiencing a genuine and an overwhelming sense of hopelessness. We're surrounded by it every day. I know from my experience as a police officer the power of hopelessness and how destructive it is in broken lives through alcohol and drink and drugs, through broken homes, through debt and violence and despair, through broken communities and countries, through extremism and terrorism. It's absolutely surrounding us. Millions of people are affected by it every day. And as Emily Sandy was saying in those lyrics, she's crying out for change and she's crying out for hope. You know, as part of my job as a police officer, I speak to people in crisis at the point where they can be seconds away from taking their life. And I try and work out what has brought them to this point. And there's lots of varied things. It may be a loss of relationship, a loss of money, a loss of reputation, a loss of health. But all of it is wrapped up in a loss of hope. Because, you know, you can survive 40 days without food. You can survive 8 days without water. You can survive 4 minutes without air. But you can only survive a few seconds without hope. Because the first three take care of our physical needs. But as spiritual beings, without hope, life is hopeless. And if you think, you know, well, Katrina, you maybe see it all the time, I would urge you to go and just look at the statistics for suicide. Do you know, other than heart problems or heart disease, suicide is the second biggest killer across the world. There are more people dying from taking their own life than in all the armed conflicts across the world. Every 40 seconds across the world, somebody is taking their life. Two people a day in Scotland die through hopelessness. And you see, in Emily Sandy's lyrics, she said, we're not blameless, and I hope we can fix what we've done. Well, she's right, we're not blameless. But the sadness is we can't fix what we've done, so she's wrong. But am I compounding the hopelessness? No, because actually that's where the good news starts. We can't fix what we've done, and people are desperately trying to do that. But we can't fix what we've done. Why? Because God's already fixed it. Because in John 3:16, God loved us, you and me, so much that he sent his son so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. And that's the best assured hope we can ever know. You see, unlike Emily Sandy, my hope isn't based on what Katrina Kilvier or Peyton can do or fix. It's based on what God has already done for me. So all the very best in me and all the very worst in me or anyone else in this world, be it a terrorist, be it a leader, be it anyone, cannot change God's life-saving plan. He sent Jesus, he died, he rose again, and he's coming back. Fact. And therefore, my hope is assured. I can say with all assurance that the present isn't permanent. Therefore, I can have that eternal hope. So it won't surprise you to know that on day one, we had hope as our word. That we had assured hope. And what was the object that we had, boys and girls? What object did we have on day one, Grace? A boomerang. Because unless I'm the one that's throwing it, a boomerang does tend to come back. So yes, Jesus is coming back one day. And what fish did we have on Monday? Go on then.
A flying fish.
A flying fish. Fantastic. Because in the same way that Jesus came down from heaven, he's going to go back to heaven. Sorry, he went to heaven. He's coming back from heaven to be with us. And so I would urge all of you, thinking on day one, who don't know that assured hope, that you don't leave here today without speaking to someone about how you can know God's assured hope through John 3:16. But for those of you who are sitting here thinking, well, that's okay, I know John 3:16, and you've maybe had a struggle this morning working out the version that we've learned here. I certainly did, because I learned a different version as a child. But you maybe know that hope. Let me remind you of the challenge that you face. You see, the devil knows that God's plan has been accomplished, and he cannot change the outcome. But what he can do is destroy lives along the way. And just like you've probably heard the story of when the devil decided he was having a garage sale, we all need a clear out now and again, and he had all his destructive tools on display, all very effective, very costly, and very destructive. Hatred, jealousy, pride, lies, deceit. But there was one tool right in the corner, and it was more worn than any of the other tools. And the label attached to that one was hopelessness. And when questioned about it, the devil says, you see, it's my most powerful tool, and it's the one I use when none of the others work. And it's so effective. Why? Because people don't even know it belongs to me. You see, the devil wants to use hopelessness in our lives to take us into the despair that causes us to look away from what God has assured us through John 3:16 and to look at our situation and our circumstances. You know, my brother last week said, Katrina, you know, you're a fantasist. And it actually caused me to look at myself, because a lot of the people at my work say to me, the only reason that you can be smiling, Katrina, is because you don't know what's going on in the world. Either that or sweets grow in trees in your world. Well, I can tell you that neither is the case. But you see, through my own personal experience, I know the pain of life at times. And through what I see in the lives of those I deal with professionally, I see the pain in life. But my happy hope isn't because I don't know what's going on in the world. It's because God has overcome the world. And through his promise and his action to us in John 3:16, I know that the present isn't permanent. So my hope is that God will work all things together for good. And therefore, my hope is based on that future. You know, my dad, who actually died a year ago today, used to say, got any rivers you can't cross, mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in the impossible and can do what no other can do. God does specialize in the impossible. But the impossible isn't about taking you out of the present. It's taking you through the present to the future. So if you're facing hurt, pain, despair, you're going to have to keep walking through it, because that's the only way to get to his future plan for each and every one of us. And so we learn day two in our Rocky's place of the need to be filled. Because God recognized that to get through it, we needed power. So when Jesus went up to heaven, he didn't abandon us, but he left us with his spirit to be filled. And we had the analogy of a torch that might look like a torch, it might feel like a torch, but it doesn't shine until it's filled with batteries and it's attached to its power source. So you might feel that you've got hope, but you're not going to shine hope into hopelessness unless you're filled with God's Spirit. God gave us the power to be able to cope and endure the present in all its pain and in all its hurt, and in all the hope assured that he has already accomplished what he needed to do. And on day three, we moved on to learning about having faith. That faith isn't just believing. It's about believing and acting. And we learned about the member, boys and girls, the lame man. He hadn't walked for 40 years. And the disciples said to him, Peter and John, get up and walk. And you know, we sometimes think that that's the God of Peter and John from however many years ago. But the God that I know is that same God who promised he never will change. So if you're not seeing miracles, you're maybe needing to get up off your mat. Because it was only at the point that the boy and the man got up off his mat that he could walk. Just like a mud skipper fish. And I should have said for Tuesday, just so that you know, what, when we were talking about being filled, boys and girls, what was the fish that we spoke about, Grace?
Puffer fish,
which fills up to about three times its size. That's spiritually. I don't want to see you three times your size here in a month's time. And yes, the mud skipper fish, having faith to get up and walk. And on day four, we learned about love. You see, the world's all about talking about how you feel. But you see, love isn't a feeling. It's an action. If you love, you act. As human beings, we're designed to think, feel, then act. If you don't act, you either don't genuinely think or feel, or you're suppressing those feelings. So we want to see the demonstration of your love in action. And we learned that through Dorcas, who cared so much that she made lots of practical gifts for those around us. But see, the most important thing isn't looking after today's needs. It's about the forever needs. You see, in Emily Sandy's verse, she said, I hope we start seeing forever instead of what we can gain in a day. If we're so fixated on today and today's problems, we lose sight of the future and the forever and the promise and the assurance that God has given us. And the last day that we learned on the Friday, we heard about the need to tell. And the object that we had was a sheet, because Peter had a vision where a sheet came down from heaven with all kinds of animals on it. And God basically was telling him that his message was for everyone, that even as a Jew, his message was for the Gentiles, and that he should pass that on to everyone. And place, as in Rocky's place, place the fish along with cod and haddock are the favorite fishes to be served at a fish and chip shop. And they taste so nice that we want to share them. So you see, the despair and anxiety and the hopelessness that I told you about at the start might seem overwhelming. But as the optimist and as God's assured hope, I see it as the best opportunity that we have to shine that hope into their lives, to remind people that John 3:16 matters, because it's God's promise that he loved you and me so much that he sent his son, that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. That's not an if, but, or maybe. That's a thankful full stop, job done. And so Emily Sandy, as she got towards the end of her song, she said louder, I cannot hear you. How can things be better left unsaid? And that's the reality and the challenge for you. Louder. The world can't see your hope. And sometimes we think we can't share it, and we might not share it because we don't want to be politically incorrect or offend. But Emily Sandy got it. How can things be better left unsaid? If you have assured hope, how in any way can it be better to keep it to yourself? Because God's promise is for everyone, and he's urging you to share it with everyone. And then when you know that hope, and you know John 3:16, you can say in the same way that Paul said, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing can separate us from the love of God. If that isn't good news, If that isn't good news, then I'm sorry, we are pretty hopeless. But I can tell you that God accomplished all that he needed to accomplish. The only way to the future is through the present. And I pray that you have that assured hope. I pray that you are filled with God's Spirit. I pray that you have faith in action. I pray that you love practically, not just taking care of today's needs, but that you love someone so much you care for their future. You care for their soul, and that you will shout louder than you have ever shouted before, because this world needs hope. And the people that have it are sitting here today. And so I just pray that in the same way that the kids were reminded of how God established his church through Peter, that you will carry forward that message and that you will shine that hope and that assurance that God loved us so much that he sent his son so that everyone who believes in him, see, I'm reverting to my type, who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. And I will continue to smile, not because I can't see pain and not because sweets grow on trees, but because I have God's assured hope. And I just pray that you will have that and that you will live it out in your lives when you leave here. Let's just pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for Rocky's Place. We thank you for all that you taught these children. I thank you for every child that came and reminded me of the joy that we can know, the energy that they have, the fire that they have to want to tell and to share and to demonstrate. I just pray that the grown-ups too will leave here with that same energy and fire, that they will shout louder than ever before about what you give them through John 3:16. That when things seem desperate, that they won't focus on the circumstances, but focus on you. Because of John 3:16, there are no hopeless situations. There are only people who grow hopeless within them. So I just pray that you will just strengthen and build up each and every one of us here, that we will leave here with your assured hope, and that we will shout louder to all those in our world that need it. We thank you for the fun that we've had this week, and we just ask that you would continue to bless these children and all the words that they've heard, and we just ask that you will be with us for the rest of this service now. Amen.